So Pastor Adam is going to be preaching this morning, and while he gets one microphone and earpiece off and puts the other one on, before we say a word of prayer, I just want to encourage you that the truth of this song, no matter what it is that we go through, because Jesus is alive, not only are our sins forgiven, not only do we have our inheritance in heaven that can never perish, spoil, or fade, can never be kept from us, like we have all those things to look forward to in the future that are just as real, even more real than what we go through now. We have that. We hold on to that. We also have His presence in the midst. Now, His presence with us doesn't necessarily make things better or easier, or when you're going through a hard time, you're like, no, it really wasn't that hard. Like, no, like we still go through trials and tribulations and hard things. But the reality that His presence is there with us throughout it all means that in the midst of the hardship, we have someone to lean on who will never leave us, never forsake us. Why? Because Jesus really did raise from the dead. Let's pray. Lord, I am so glad that You love us. We don't deserve Your love. We don't deserve Your compassion and forgiveness, but You give it to us freely. Jesus, thank You that You died on the cross for our sins, that You rose from the dead, that You are alive forevermore. Thank You for what that means for us eternally, the inheritance we have in Your perfect forever kingdom, where there's no sickness or sadness or tears or surgery or death or cancer or any of that. We thank You for that. Thank You for Your presence in our lives each and every day, that no matter what we go through, on the best days and on the worst days, You are with us, carrying us. You are our rock that we can continually cling to. You are the rock that on which we dwell, our constant habitation. We thank You for that. God, I just ask for Your blessing on Pastor Adam as he brings us the word this morning. God, that You'll give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand what You have for us. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Jason, for praying for me so I could go from one person to the next person. Well, the original plan was for me not to preach this week, but God had other plans. And one thing as pastors, we have to remember, one of our number one ministries is our family. That's what God has given us. And there were some things Jason and I were talking about over this past week, and on Friday we had a meeting, and it was like, okay, you've got some things coming up the following week with Delaney, and are you good to go on Sunday? Yep, good. Like, okay, perfect. I'll be ready, because as a good pastor knows, you always have to have a sermon in your back pocket. You never know when you need to pull it out, right? And so we had that conversation, and Friday night we found out she was going in, so I said, you take care of your family, we'll handle Sunday morning. Well, then he came and he did all the announcements. So it's fun having him here, but now he gets to listen to a sermon by me. And a couple times I've done a sermon when in his absence, he hasn't been here. So this will be kind of awkward. Yeah, he's going to take notes. I have this big old note. We're going to talk about giving it all to Him, and the hymn is Jesus. I have talked about this one other place. So it was a sermon I had in my back pocket, but I did it at a chapel for younger kids. And so I expanded upon it a little bit more for us. So you get the bonus, giving it all to Jesus. Aren't you excited? It's really about, Jason's excited. It's really about casting everything to Jesus. We all know Peter, cast your cares upon the Lord, right? We know that, okay? What if I asked you a question? I'm going to ask you this. Do you think, because oftentimes the world will say this, wouldn't life be easier if we just had the manual for life? Right? The VCR manual. Yes, I still remember VCRs. I am not that young. It was very complicated. Who's ever tried to read a manual for anything? We all have. Who likes doing it? One person in the very, very back who coincidentally is working in the AV booth, so tech people might like reading the manuals. I don't. I look at page one. How do I turn this on? That works. Okay. Then you move on. I save the manuals, but I don't go through them. This is what Proverbs says for us. Proverbs, most of it was written by Psalms, and so it was King Solomon giving advice to his children, but it's still applicable for us today. Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take." Where is God's Word? Where is it found? In the Bible. So if we trust in the Lord with all our heart and do not depend on our own manual for life, seek His will, this should be the manual for our life. Some of you have lived this earth longer than I have. You'll experience things that I have not experienced. This passes through age and time. This manual. You may not experience something right now, but if you keep sticking to this manual, it'll get you through regardless of the situation. Right? God's manual. I modified this a little bit to work with what I talked about 2 weeks ago. I, just like you, deal with the same thing Elijah dealt with, and that was fear and anxiety and everything that we're not supposed to be focused on. Yes, I'm going to stand up here and tell you I am human. Pastors are not superior beings. We are human. We have emotions. We struggle with the same things you struggle with. The person sitting next to you struggles with the same thing you're struggling with or has struggled with, right? There's nothing new under the sun. Fear of what's next, fear of the unknown, worry, finances, everything. And like when I talked about 2 weeks ago, that holds us back from doing what God has called us to do, which is to, anybody remember? What was it? Go. That holds us back. As a Christian, if we carry those weights with us, what are we supposed to do with them? Give them to the Lord. Is that easy? No. We have the manual for the life that we're supposed to live, and one of them is give it to the Lord, your fears, your worries, your anxieties, and what do? We hold on to them. We give them to Him and then take them right back because we think sometimes we're better than God. Peter was probably referencing this verse, which is Psalms 55, 22. "Cast your cares on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken." Theological question for you. Are we righteous? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. So if we cast our cares upon the Lord, He will sustain us. He's not going to let us be shaken. Oh, this life we've got troubles and trials and things like that. But our hope is in Christ Jesus, our living hope. Why is it so hard to cast your cares upon the Lord? Like the psalmist David is saying here. And then Peter reiterates. Why do we struggle with it? Pride, sin nature, does not want us to break free from the slavery of sin. We'll talk a little bit more about that shortly. This is what Jesus tells us. It's pretty simple when Jesus talks, right? Then Jesus in Matthew said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Doesn't that sound amazing? This is Jesus telling us, this is what you need to do. Take my yoke upon you. You will have rest. We all sleep. Some of us sleep more than others. It's not talking about sleep. It's that I don't have to worry about what's coming next. Maybe it is sleep. It's rest. Resting in the Savior. Resting in Jesus. Our sin nature doesn't want us to do that. Our new nature wants to. We, which one do we want? Do we want to rest in Jesus? Or do we want to rest in our anxieties, in our fears, in our worries? Jesus. Because when you rest in your anxieties, in your fears, in your worries, what happens to your life? It gets a little messy and sad and not a place where you want to be. Do we have the manual for life. It's right here. It's right there in Matthew. We are free from fear, anxiety, worry. You fill in the blank. We're free from that. Jesus Christ died to set us free from those things. We go back to that. We run back to that. We, as I saw somebody do, give it to Jesus and then take it away from him. We do that. He doesn't do that. He's like, here, have some more fear. Have some more anxiety, Mike. I know you love it. Right? There you go. Mike loves it. Romans says this. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Is being afraid of sin? Well, fear is good. It's a good thing to tell you that there's a problem. So fear in itself might not be a sin. But when we let it dominate our lives and take our eyes off Christ and put our own yoke on, it becomes a sin. Anxiety, stress, worry. Anxiety is a good way to tell you, again, there's something going on. You need to do something. If you have no fear, no stress, no anxiety, I would like to talk to you after church to figure out how you got to that place. I learned a long time ago how to control it a little bit, but I still get it because I'm just like everybody else. As we've learned, as Christians, life isn't easy, so we struggle with those things. We deal with the same things that the world does. Honestly, I don't know how they get through their day. They don't have hope like we do. They don't turn to the manual like we do. They turn to the VCR manual. Life is not easy and it's not fair. I hate to break it to you. The younger kids in here, you think it's not easy and you think it's not fair now, just wait till you get older. And you have to start paying taxes. That's when it gets really unfair. Right? But the thing is, that's okay. It's okay that life is not easy and life isn't fair. Because we have Jesus, who actually tells us it's not going to be easy for us. We have Jesus and the cross. Well, you were praying, I pulled another cross out. That set us free. And the Apostle Paul says it like this. He puts it in pretty good terms. In 2 Corinthians, he said, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power... Wait a second. Did I just read that? Yep. Okay, here, I'll read it. We are... I know, I was like, wait a second. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. How did the Apostle Paul get there? How did he get there in his life? He had a lot of bad things happen to him. Stoned, beaten. He lost everything he had. The guy had a pretty good life before he became a follower of Christ. He lost everything. Shipwrecked. Bitten by a poisonous snake. Didn't really hurt him, but he got bit by a poisonous snake, right? Had a thorn in his side, pain all the time, we don't quite know. Maybe couldn't see very well with bad eyes. A lot of bad things happened to him. And he makes that statement. He writes to the Corinthians, which this is letter number 2. They didn't get it right the first time. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not given to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. How many of us can raise our hand and say, that's my testimony today? We're not there yet. We're not. Each one of us, I've talked with a lot of you, each one of us has troubles and trials and complaints, and we feel like we're not going to make it through. Jesus Christ gets us through. We won't be destroyed. This body will decay and things like that. But we don't always feel like we are ready to conquer the world. Right? Like God tells us that we can do. This is the Apostle Paul's testimony here. This is quite amazing. This is what he says in Acts chapter 20. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for the finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. How did he get there? Why are we not there? Why do we struggle with X, Y, and Z when he struggled with everything too? How does he get there and we don't get there? How does Paul know he's got to cast his cares upon the Lord? And Peter did too. Oh, that Peter. But we can't get there. We can. We can get there. We got the manual that helps us get there. If we don't get out of the fear and anxiety and everything that's holding us back, if we don't give it to Jesus, we miss out. Because he says this about us, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. What does it say? We would walk in them? Does it say we will? I will make you walk in them? We would, which indicates what? That we might not. So if God has prepared things for us, good works, and we might not, what causes us to not do the things that God wants us to do? What holds us back? What held Elijah back? Fear. Anxiety. Depression. Yeah, the teens, they're just going. Anger. You fill in the blank. What is holding you back? Lack of. We feel inadequate. We don't feel qualified. How do we get through this? This isn't just us. This is Christianity as a whole. You've got some Christians that are on fire for the Lord. You look at them and you're like, boy, how do I get there? They didn't have some secret cheat code and an extra page in the Bible that they could discover and figure out how to get there. Cheat code is for the younger generation. They have the same thing we do, the same Spirit, the same God, but yet they're on fire for the Lord and we're not. A lot of scripture being thrown at you today. Ephesians chapter 4. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lusts and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on the new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. We've got two natures. We've got a new nature, which God has given us, and the sin nature. They battle each other. Oftentimes than not, the sin nature wins. We yield to that. We don't yield to the new nature. But if we want to get to the place that we can say, like the Apostle Paul said, my life is worth nothing because I've been called to God and to do the job that God has called. It doesn't matter what happens to me. It doesn't matter what I face. We've got to do what he tells the church of Ephesus, which is to throw off the old nature. Cast, throw off, get rid of that thing that's holding you back, that fear, that anxiety. Paul tells them this in Colossians. For this reason also, since the day we have heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to be pleasing, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the obtaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints. We talked about there was like five fears 2 weeks ago. One of them is right, is being unqualified or feeling inadequate. What does it say? Who qualifies us? God? Jesus? So what's holding us back? It's funny, I keep saying that. Somebody made a comment to me at the last one. He said, you were asking them questions they couldn't answer. Like, okay, that's true, but it's more a rhetorical question. I want you to ponder it. What's holding you back? What fear, what anxiety, what, fill in the blank, you're going to hear me say that a lot, is holding you back from doing what God has called you to do? What has God called us to do? Go, serve, spread the gospel. Are we doing these things? You're not supposed to answer. They're rhetorical questions. We can't do those things unless we give the things that are holding us back to Jesus. We will always only ever focus on, oh, what's going to happen next? Oh, I'm stressed out. Are we going to have enough money for this? Fill in the blank. Am I going to have good health? Am I going to be safe? Oh, I can't do those things, God, because I have to worry about my little kingdom here, my little things that I have to hold on to. And you know, Jesus, he didn't just live a sinless life. He experienced the same things we do. So he knows what it's like to feel these things, but yet he did it without sin. I can't contemplate that. I don't know what it's like to not have a sin nature. I look forward to the day where I don't have a sin nature. Amen? We all should look forward to that day. It's going to be a completely different experience. We won't have the devil on one shoulder, like the cartoon, right, telling you to do one thing, and then the angel on the other shoulder telling you to do the other thing. Jesus knows what we go through. He felt how we feel. He still feels it today. He felt everything that we feel, the fear, the sadness, the guilt, the worry, the anxiety, everything that gets our minds off of him, he felt that. And to take it one step further, when did Jesus become a sinner? Does anybody know? Never. But when he took it to the cross, he put all of our sin on him. When you feel that fear and anxiety that's holding you back from doing what God has called you to do, he put it on himself on the cross and suffered for it. To say what? What did he say? It is finished. It's done. The record of debt has been paid in full. Through him. But we say, I'm not going to give you my burden. I'm not going to give you my fear. I'm going to hold it for myself because I know what's better than the guy who wrote the manual. That's like telling Carl, you don't know anything about taxes. I do. I said that to him a couple weeks ago. He laughed. I actually said, is there somebody else I could talk to who knows taxes? That's like saying that to Carl. You don't know anything about taxes. Me who know nothing about taxes other than what TurboTax tells me to put in right there. Boop. Yep, that's me. That would be me telling Carl, you're not good enough. You don't know what you're talking about. You gave me the manual for TurboTax, but it's not good enough. Jesus says this. Oh, this is Peter. I read this one already. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Pretty popular verse. You'll see non-believers quote that verse. But this is what Jesus says. Jesus said this in John chapter 16. In this world you will have troubles. What a great promise from our loving Savior. But take heart. This is the important part. We read it as, oh, take heart. I have overcome the world. No, it's a charge. In this world, you're going to have troubles, but take heart because I have overcome them. And if I've overcome them and you're in me, what does that mean for you? We can overcome them too. We're going to be crushed. We're going to be destroyed. Whatever's going to happen to us from either side, like the Apostle Paul was saying, but if Jesus overcomes the world, take heart. We overcome the world with him. But it doesn't feel like it sometimes. It doesn't feel like it because we don't give it to him. We carry it on ourselves. And the worst part is, he wants us to give it to him. He went to the cross willingly because he loved us. He's not sitting there thinking, oh, Lynn's got anxiety again. Oh, man, I thought we were through that. I guess I'll take it from her. No. He wants you to give it to him. He could have said, cast all your cares on me. But Peter wrote it, cast on your cares on him. Is Jesus ever going to cast it back to you? No, he would probably use Amazon, mail it right back to you. No, he does not do that. He overcame death, the grave, and we still say your manual is not good enough. Your taking of my cares is not good enough. He couldn't prove anymore to us that he is God. He is God. He can do these things, but I'm not going to give it to him. I'm not going to give you the care that I have that I carry with me. I'm not going to give you the anxiety. I'm not going to give you, you fill in the blank. And when we don't do those things, we miss out on the things that God has prepared for us because we're not focused on him. If you're driving along on the street and you're mad about X, Y, and Z, and you're really just stewing, because I've done that, right? You're just stewing. That happened a couple years ago. I was really stewing, and so I came to the church to do something, and on Skip Lake Road, and a walnut came and shattered my windshield. There's God waking you up, right? But when you're just stewing on something, and you see an opportunity, how often do you, when you're just really mad, stewing on something, you're paying attention to the opportunities that God is giving you around you on the street? You miss out. How often when you put your blinders on because you're so focused of your own life and the crazy things that are happening that you miss out on the opportunity to share God's word with somebody? We all should raise our hands because there's been countless times where we all have done that and we don't even know that. And I hope when we get to the other side of eternity, Jesus doesn't play back the Blu-ray DVD. For children, we used to have DVDs. I don't know if you guys know what a DVD is, right? And he's going to play back my life, and he's like, oh, you missed this person, you missed that person. I don't think it's going to be like that. I hope it's not, because my DVD of my life is going to be long. Give Jesus your cares, cast them, which the term really is throw, heave, send, so far that you're not going to want to pull it back, because we oftentimes do that. Cast to Jesus and then don't take it back. Jesus says, I can handle them. I can free you from your burden if you would just give them to me. That's the hard thing for us, is giving it to him and letting him keep it. Let me share a story with you. You have moments when you're a father where it's just like excruciatingly frustrating or excruciatingly awesome. Some of you know my son quite well. He oftentimes gets hung up on things, particularly when he's frustrated or dealing with something that's making him angry. And for years, as a father, I know that if he would just come to me when he's in these moments, I can help him calm down. So for years, I've been dealing with this situation. And over and over and over again, I plead with him to just come to me, take my hand, help me. He's taking notes for me. Take my hand, Ian, and let me help you get through this tantrum, this issue, this anger that you're dealing with. For years, you would think that he would right away. I don't know, maybe girls go right away, but we don't have a girl, we got a boy. So for years, it was no. Smacks the hand away. I think maybe, okay, maybe he should be punished for that, but I'm there trying to emulate God's love towards him. So I reach out again. Just take my hand, please. Let me help you. I don't want to just force it, right? Because that's not what God does. He doesn't just force our love onto him. He wants us to give it to him freely, willingly, just like the burdens, give it freely and willingly. If God wanted to, you just take them all. It'd be a perfect world. But he didn't make it that way. And so a couple months ago, Satan does a good work on your children when you're just about to go to church or do something, or they do it on the way to church to really test how good is your testimony when you get to church. It was Wednesday, and he was having one of these meltdowns, and over, he's 5 years old, so I've been doing this since he's been able to communicate, so probably 3 or 4 years, the same routine. But I know that if I keep doing it, eventually I'm going to get that moment where he does yield. So he's going to town complaining about spaghetti. I don't know what it was, which is his favorite food, so I don't know what that was about. Again, I'm holding the hand out. I get on my knee, right, because I'm trying to come down to his level, right, because did God stay up here? He came to our level. So I get on my knee and I say, just please, Ian, just take my hand. Just come here. Let me help you. Let me take it from you. And a proud father moment, that one time out of countless times of trying, he finally relinquished and he came to me and I embraced him. And in that moment, his fear and anger and whatever he was dealing with, I could feel was melting away from him. And I was taking it, not in figuratively, right? I wasn't doing it for real. And in that moment, in my head, it was, this is what God does for us. How many times do we smack God's hand away? We're his children, and we smack his hand away. He suffered and died for us, and we smack his hand away. When all he's trying to do is help you. He's trying to help us. All I'm trying to do is help my son. And he just doesn't understand. And God, Jesus says the same thing to us. I'm just trying to help you. But you don't understand. You get mad at me. And that moment is truly beautiful when we finally give him the care and we finally throw it to him and we come into his arms. And it all melts away. And as an adult, we think to ourselves, I should have done this a lot sooner. That's my Ian story. Probably the one time that's happened, because it only gets happened since then. But I'm going to try, because my job is to emulate Christ and be a father figure for him so he can see Christ in me. So I'm going to do it over and over and over again. Just don't tell him when he's an adult I'm going to do it and embarrass him. Paul says this about the cross. Colossians 2:14. He canceled the record of charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. He took that fear, anxiety, pain, suffering, unknown, financial stress. Fill in the blank. He canceled the record of charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Again, I said those things in itself are not sinful, but we let them get sinful. That's what he took to the cross. I like post-it notes. I didn't write anything on them. He took the fear. He took, if I could do this. Ooh, it's one of those. The anxiety. See if it sticks. He took the unknown. My financial trouble. Fill in the blank. He took that for me. Nailed it to the cross. And all we got to do is willingly give it to him. So that our life would look like this. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. We can get to that point just like the Apostle Paul did, but we've got to get to the things that hold us back and nail it to the cross. Jesus took it to the cross for us. What are we waiting for? I'll put that one up there. There's the cross. I don't like carrying those things around with me. Do you? No, we'll sit here and shake our head. No, I don't either. I'll say I don't like it. But tomorrow I'll carry something with me. Tuesday I'll carry something with me. And then I've got to remember, oh, I just preached on that. I better nail it to the cross. I better give it to God. Easier said than done. But when we have the manual, we have God's Word. The more we're in this, the more we're in communication with the Lord through prayer, the more we're connected to each other through the church, the easier it can be to give your burden to somebody. It's harder as a man, I think, to give our burdens away maybe than it is a lady. I'm not sure. I'm not a lady. But men, we don't want to be seen as weak. We want to handle everything ourselves. We can take the stress, the worry, the anxiety of the family upon our shoulders. Well, we also die a lot from heart attacks too. We do that, but at the same time, Jesus says you don't have to live that life. You don't have to have fear, anxiety, worry, stress. But instead, live the life that God has called you to do, which is to what? Go. Share the gospel. Share the good news. Share what you've learned today, because the world is filled with fear, anxiety, and anger, and they don't know where to turn. They don't have an answer. Guess who's got the answer? We do. But we let our own lives, our own distractions get in the way of doing what God has called you to do. I don't know about you, because I can't speak for everybody. I want us to be a church that is on fire for the Lord. What does that look like? I'll tell you what it looks like. It's giving all your burdens to Him and saying, use me wherever I need to be, Lord. You want me to go to China? I'll go to China. You want me to go to the interfaith shelter? I'll go to the interfaith shelter. You want me to go to the hospital and sit with somebody? I'll do that. That's what it means to be on fire for the Lord, to try and save everybody you possibly can. What is Charles, you always do that Charles Spurgeon quote, like, we don't want people to be, we want them to fight and, you know, hold them back from going to hell. And hear me, it's Jesus Christ who saves people. We are just a tool, an instrument, okay? But I want to be the guy that Jesus said, you were on fire for the Lord because you casted all that stuff back off, and now you're doing what I've called you to do. It puts you out of your comfort zone. You're going to have to step out in faith. You're going to have to do things that you didn't think you were capable of doing. But don't worry, because the greatest person to ever live, the God Almighty who created the universe, lives within you, dwells within you, His Spirit dwells within you. He qualifies us. He strengthens us. He walks with us every step of the way, and we still say, not good enough to do what you've called me to do. So my challenge for you today is, what in your life do you need to put on the cross? What in your life do you need to lay down that's holding you back from living the life that God has called you to do? For living the life that's on fire for the Lord? It doesn't matter how old or how young you are. God will use you if you say, I'm here. Use me. I don't think there's a person in all of history that God hasn't used when they had an open and willing heart. So think about that. It's time to let go. It's time to give all the things to Him so it can be nailed to the cross, so we can be on fire for Christ Jesus, because that's what God has called us to do. I don't want to be a lukewarm Christian. I don't want to be a lousy Christian, even though I'm going to make mistakes. God doesn't say we're not going to make mistakes. Jesus tells us we're going to make a lot of mistakes. The Apostle Paul tells us we're going to make a lot of mistakes. Press on to what's ahead of us, not looking back at what's behind us. Casting your cares, your fears to the Lord, but be on fire for Him. And the only way we can do that, the only way we can be on fire for Him, is if we take our eyes off the things that distract us and look to Him. Let's pray. Father, I thank You. I thank You that You're always with us. I thank You that You'll never forsake us. I thank You for the responsibility that You've given us to of Your church, which is to go into the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples of every nation. You should not take that responsibility lightly. I thank You for the promises that You've given us, that if we only just give our care to You, our worries, our sadness, our fill in the blank to You, that You will take them, that Your burden and yoke is light. We don't have to carry those things with us. Father, I pray for each individual person here that they would identify the thing in their life or one thing in their life that's holding them back from being on fire for You, because that's what You want. You want a church that's on fire for You. You don't want a lukewarm church. You want a church that's passionate about seeing people come to Christ, that's passionate about the brotherhood, the fellowship of Christians, that's passionate about discipleship. Father, I ask that You get us to that place. Let us not be complacent. If we think we're there, push us even farther. Because the Apostle Paul said he's not where he needs to be, maturity-wise. We can always continue to grow. And so I ask that You work in me, because it starts from the top down. You work in me with my heart. Then You work in this church, Lord. We give all praise and glory to You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.